Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, everybody? It's Scorecard Shane Bacon, Patrick McDonald, Jonathan Wagner. I am podding from a pod in a library, Patrick. Maybe some would say too many pods involved in one pod situation here.
I'm just pumped that you are a library guy. As a library guy myself, I was telling you about the Libby app this weekend where you can kind of just get any book you want from the library on your Kindle or via audiobook. So I'm glad you're dipping your toes into the game.
There was a couple in here in my pod that were doing, it looked like some intense studying, probably not about like WAGR or OWGR, but they were doing some level of intense studying. And I kind of was giving them the side eye. It was 11:52, 11:54. You guys don't mind leaving. We got some serious business to get to. And obviously, Johnson, we got a boatload of golf to talk about. I mean, we had a playoff at the Memorial. I know you were out there. We obviously had an incredible finish at the U.S. Women's Open, including a putt that didn't look like it was ever going to go in and somehow went in for Nelly. And obviously coming off golf's longest day yesterday. Johnson, I feel like this is the most amount of golf we have starting right now through basically the Open Championship.
Yeah, it's an exciting run. But first of all, what's a library? I don't understand that reference.
Oh,
so it's
Johnson,
like books.
Come on.
Film. Can rent anything you want.
The last time I was in a library, they still used the Dewey Decimal System. Is that still going on?
Oh, that is still kicking. That's timeless.
And they've updated. I mean, there's not as much card catalog anymore. You can get a little bit more involved digitally. I mean, I know you're a guy that spends a moment or two on a cell phone every day, but venture out, go to the library. Don't have to buy a book, just rent it. You just grab it, read it, send it back. Patrick,
you pillar of your community,
your guy.
I've read a couple, like Arnie, of course, and some of those biographies, I would say, but we talk so much golf, I'd rather go kind of other interest, other nonfiction interests. Like the last book I read was about a Siberian tiger and how Russians were hunting it in the forest in the 90s, which I'll pass along that book to you guys if you're interested too.
You know what? Don't have to. I can rent it from the library. You don't have to send it to me. I can just get it right here when I'm done. Wags, I want to get into the Memorial first. We get a playoff, obviously. It was Poston. It was Gerard. It felt like a lot of opportunity. We talked a lot about it over the weekend in terms of the opportunity all the players had when there weren't a lot of the superstars near the top of the leaderboard. Gerard had his moments, obviously missed a short putt in that playoff. I know you talked on Sunday night on our scorecard show when we were wrapping things up about Poston and kind of who he is as a golfer, because I think a lot of people saw this as a shock. No top 20s on the season headed into the week. He talked about finding form and obviously getting the biggest win of his career. Now, what has he got? 4 wins in his career? Pretty impressive stuff.
It's really impressive stuff. And I mean, he is, we see it all the time when players try to go get length and they try to improve their ball striking and gain that length. It takes a little bit of time for them to get back to being themselves. We've seen a steady decline in JT Poston's game, and it's basically been leading from his putting and his short game, which were two of the things that he was defined by early in his career, which is why he had 3 wins pretty early in his young career. And so now to see him make that switch from a super toe hang putter to the more face balanced mallet putter, I'm hoping, just because of the guy JT Poston is, I'm hoping that that's going to be the switch that really propels him into sort of the second chapter of his career, where he's now won clearly the biggest tournament of his life. And don't forget, I mean, he's contended in some major championships. Like, JT Poston has a ton of skill. Now that he's gotten a little bit longer off the tee, I think we could see hopefully a little more consistency out of him going forward.
Yeah, Wags, you mentioned this on Sunday, and I just want you to dive a little deeper on this. You talked about who JT Poston is, and you said, you know, he's kind of a grinder. He's kind of a gritty dude. I mean, probably in the same camp as like an Aaron Rye type. When you heard everybody talk about Aaron Rye on the back end, the time he spends out on the golf course, the times he speaks and spends in the practice rounds. Can you expand a little bit more on just this JT Poston character? Because he seems like a guy you really root for.
He's a guy I totally root for. Played a lot of practice rounds with him early in his career. He was sort of a young guy that was a Southeast guy, North Carolina guy that I had a lot of similar friends with, guys like Brian Harmon, Patton Kizzire, sort of the Georgia connection. And so JT moving to Sea Island, we played a lot together, and he's the kind of guy on a Tuesday, I like to play games. I don't want to sit out there and just grind over bunker shots and putts on courses that I've seen for, you know, 10 years, 12 years at this point. And so for JT, he's a guy that would always want to play a game on a Tuesday, and he was a great partner to have because he could fill the hole up out there on a Tuesday. He's got a real incredible witty personality. He's actually quite funny, and he's good friends with Ben Coles, who just won on the Korn Ferry Tour this past week.
Yeah, I saw they were kind of exchanging messages on social media about, oh, you won, I won too. This is fun stuff. Patrick, Gerard had that putt, great worm cam by the crew to give us a kind of a look at how much break there was involved in that putt he missed in the playoff. I mean, Ryan Gerard, I know, is a guy you've been high on in his career, the confidence, obviously kind of above maybe what his resume looks like right now. But I think you and I said this on Sunday, I don't think he's going to be that kind of distraught by losing that golf tournament, considering where he's at right now with his game and where he's been over the last, let's call it, 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, and this is a guy who has gone on a lot of streaks before. Just think about 2025 and going to Mauritius, and then he started his PGA Tour season in a really good fashion, and then that consistency kind of evaded him a little bit. And then we see in contention at Colonial, was the first-round leader there in that final grouping on Sunday. Same situation at the Memorial, first-round leader in that final grouping on Sunday. That's very stressful to do that over the course of two straight tournaments. You're in contention 100% of the time, and I feel like that's an aspect of the game that we often overlook, is just knowing your name is on the first page of the leaderboard really since the start. And so, yeah, I think the world of this guy. I think the move with the putter, I know Todd Lewis of Golf Channel mentioned how he has one putter that he likes to line himself up with that has that tee alignment on top, and then the one he games doesn't have that at all, which is, I mean, the guy's a lunatic when it comes to putters. It seems like he's switching it out every single week, but he has one that he likes. And I think that putting, he's been filling it up these last 2 weeks, of course, and I think that'll be the key in terms of his consistency and making sure his bad weeks are now top 20 finishes as opposed to, you know, T65 at the Truist Championship and something like that. But he's just an old school player, right? Doesn't hit it that far, has that left to right bleeder every single time. He's a low ball hitter, has that funky swing. And I just love guys who kind of own their uniqueness, own their golf swing in their games. And Gerard's one of those guys, certainly.
Wags, I wanted to ask you this because you've been around the game for a long time and been around pros for a long time. Patrick mentioned the putting thing, right, with the putter that had the line, and then he doesn't use that when he plays. I had a caddy buddy of mine back in the day that caddied for Stewart Cink, kind of before you would tinker with the drivers. Like, it was basically one driver was in one shaft, and then if you wanted a different one, you had to get a whole nother club. And he caddied for him and said Stewart had two drivers in the bag. One of them had an F written on the head cover, and one had a D on the head cover. And the F was the fade driver, the D was the draw driver. And he asked him a few holes in, what's the difference in specs? And he goes, exact same specs. I just fade that one and draw that one. What's kind of the weirdest thing either you've done yourself with equipment or something like the Gerard putter situation or sync with the drivers, or that you've seen from a player over the years in terms of kind of weirdness with their equipment?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty traditional when it comes to my bag. I don't change out, especially the putter. Once I find a putter that I like, I pretty much use the same putter my entire career. The weirdest thing I've ever seen, probably Bryson DeChambeau at Augusta and at every major the last couple of years. He comes out on the driving range on a Thursday morning before going to tee off and hits seven different driver heads, riding on the bottom of the head, the spin rates, and all sorts of weird stuff. I find that incredibly hard. Like, I remember when I first got TrackMan, I brought it out on the range before a tournament round, and it freaked me out. I started looking at club path number, all this data, and I'm like, I can't do this. So to think about going to tee off in a major and playing with and messing around with that many different heads right before you go, that's clearly the weirdest thing I've ever seen. But Ryan Gerard, you know, he's got that putting lab basically in his dining room. Doesn't even have a dining room. He's turned into a putting lab. I kind of want to do that here at my house too, but my wife won't let me.
I mean, that there lies the issue is you present these ideas to your wife and they're like, well, obviously we're not doing that. I mean, what do you want? You want your shoes in the living room? No, we're not having a shoe closet up here. Patrick, you know, I mean, obviously with Gerard in the game, I mean, we saw Poston play incredibly well. Wyndham Clark to me was kind of that third storyline coming out of the week because, I mean, Wyndham Clark is obviously finding an incredible amount of form. We bagged on Wyndham on the show a lot with the way he played earlier in the season. And now Wyndham is putting together a pretty consistent run as we head into, as we've mentioned, a couple major championships in a row, obviously, including the one that he's won in his career.
Just a ton of confidence right now. And you hear him talking and you can kind of just feel it. You can see it when he's walking around the golf course too. And he has that feeling where he's lining up over a 20-footer and it just seems like everything's going in. You couple that with the iron play, which has been spectacular his last two tournaments. And this is a guy who thinks he'll probably be a multiple-time major championship winner by the time his career is over. He obviously has that U.S. Open win at LACC. Everyone's talking about wider fairways at Shinnecock Hills. That probably plays itself into someone's hands like Wyndham Clark, who can spray it occasionally. But everything just seems much, much tighter right now. And with him, it's the confidence. And when he's confident, he has a tendency to just run downhill and contend in tournaments in bunches.
Patrick, what is it when people say run downhill? I hear that a lot. Where do you think that A originated from? And I don't really know what it means. What does that mean, run downhill?
So running downhill, it's I believe you go faster when you're running downhill because the gravity
control,
and the slope would help you. So that's kind of in line with Wyndham. He's been out of control this past year or so when you think about U.S. Opens, PGA Championships, everything that goes along with that. I mean, the Masters – what he did, he hard launched his girlfriend during the par three contest. So he's had these major moments, not necessarily for his game. And I'm guessing the U.S. Open might be a little bit different, but running downhill easier than running uphill.
I got you. Wags, before we go to break, I do want to ask if you could make an official statement on this. Is Wyndham off of your can't win list for the foreseeable future? Is that what we're going to see here, Wags?
Absolutely. I mean, he proved a lot. I mean, Patrick told me I was going to walk with him on Sunday when he won at the Byron, and I walked with him Saturday and Sunday. And for me, it's the way he's cleaned up the driver. It's not curving as much as it used to. He's hitting a real heavy ball with not much curvature. Yeah, he's definitely off the can't win list, at least for this week.
Running downhill and heavy ball. Listen, if it's not cliches, we're not including them in our pod show here on this Tuesday. All right, we're going to take a break. I want to come back. We got to talk Nelly. I mean, biggest win of her career, winning the U.S. Women's Open at Riviera. Shaky putt there at the last, but able to get it done after the big birdie there at 17. So we'll talk Nelly and we'll talk golf's longest day when we come back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Back here on Scorecard, gonna dive into What happened in LA over the weekend? Obviously, Nelly Korda picks up her first U.S. Women's Open Championship. Now back-to-back major titles, both majors here in 2026. If you don't follow the women's game that often, the U.S. Women's Open is easily their biggest event. Feels very much like what we see in terms of the Masters Tournament on the men's side. When you think about which event you want to win the most, which one's the most prestigious, all that good stuff, it always comes down to the U.S. Women's Open. So Nelly picks up the biggest win of her career. And Patrick, I think we started the season talking about Nelly and the need to win more major championships. I'd say she's answered that call so far this year.
Yeah, certainly. I believe the first player since 2013 to win the first two major championships on the ladies' sides. And then you just think about everything that comes with it, especially the U.S. Women's Open. Think about Riviera and the stars that have played there. It just felt like a week meant for Nelly Korda, and she got off to a poor start with the driver. I thought the most interesting part there, Wags, was how Jessica Korda, her sister, told her when they were playing together, it's like, hey, your grip looks a little weak. Let's strengthen that up a little bit. We saw on Thursday she was missing a lot of drives out to the right. Tighten that up. And then I thought she just scrambled unbelievably throughout the tournament, especially on Sunday. I think she was 7 for 7 on the day, including that big up and down on the penultimate hole for that tournament ceiling birdie.
Yeah, it was an incredible week, I think, for the women's game as a whole. And I have to applaud the USGA, especially the last few years and going forward, for going to sites like Riviera Country Club. I believe it started maybe a couple years ago when they went to Pebble Beach. It is refreshing as well to see Riv in the summer, see the ball bounding, see the greens being firm. Like, it's an incredible golf course that I think pretty much every golf fan feels like they know it really well. And I think it was just such a big win and exactly the week that the women's professional game needed.
And to your point, Wags, Inverness next year, which is a very underrated championship golf course in Toledo, Ohio. They go to Oakmont in 28, Pinehurst number 2 in 29, Interlochen in 30, Oakland Hills, LACC, Chicago Golf, Marion, Pebble, Shinnecock, Oak Hill upcoming in terms of the venues for the U.S. Women's Open. I mean, if you want to compete with like the mid-AM circuit in American golf, that might be as close as you're going to get. But the final leaderboard, Charlie Hull finishes second once again in a major championship, played so well over the weekend to give herself an opportunity. But obviously the story being Nelly, and you mentioned it, Patrick, the grip change. Johnson, I do want to talk about the putt at the 18th. We all dream about the putt to win a big event. If you remember when Max Homa won at Riviera, he missed about a 2.5-footer for birdie on the last green and then won in a playoff over Tony Finau. I did not think there was any chance that putt was going in when it hit the edge and started to lip around. I can't believe it somehow disappeared.
Yeah, you get on the 18th green at the end of a four-day tournament. All the players and caddies that have walked on it, the 18th green has had a lot of traffic, and especially out there when they're Poana. Like, I'm not making excuses. It's also the moment trying to hold that putt. I mean, even JT Poston's putt at Muirfield to win was about the same distance, and I mean, he gutted it. But it's a nerve-wracking experience. I remember my last win at the Sony Open. I had two putts from about 3 feet to win, and it lipped in, and I kind of gave it like it kind of flinched and freaked out. So I can sympathize with it. But yeah, thankfully for her, it found the bottom. But it did not look like it at any point that it was going to go in.
So, Patrick, the reset for Nelly now. I mean, I think about Rory last year, you know, wins the Masters, career Grand Slam. I think a lot of us, at least myself, expected kind of a big run with the major venues that were ahead on the men's side in 2025. Rory did not play great golf, really, the rest of the season outside of his victory. I think it was the Irish Open he won at later in the summer. But for Nelly, I do wonder about that reset, because now she has two straight majors, right? Back-to-back majors to start the year. Hazeltine is up next in terms of the lineup for the women's game. Do you think Nelly goes, flames this season and keeps it going? Or do you think it's a little bit like what we saw from Rory, where she gets that career-defining victory and maybe falls off a bit after that moment?
I think it's flames, because I don't think she had her A game at all this week. And I think she even said afterwards it felt like a B or C game performance from her. And so for her to win with that, how can it not be flames? I think the big thing with Nelly was last season and the perspective that she has on it now, where she felt like golf wasn't fun anymore. And we're going to talk about the U.S. Open longest day. You're hearing all these young guys like early 20s, mid 20s on the Korn Ferry Tour talk about how golf just not fun anymore, and they make it through the U.S. Open qualifying, and how a switch in perspective of making it more fun, just smiling more, and all of a sudden you're playing your best golf. And I think that's what we're seeing with Nelly right now, where she's not afraid to make fun of herself, as she said at the Chevron, where she missed a ton of those short putts. And I think it's full speed ahead for her, and she's probably got at least one more major in the cards for 2026.
I mean, you talk about completely changing the narrative, Wags. I mean, this was somebody that I think we expected more out of in terms of the major championships. Feels a little bit like Scotty last year, right? Scotty had won at Augusta. He'd been close at other major championships, and we were kind of waiting for the run, if you will, of the quote-unquote other majors, and obviously he checks off two of the boxes last year. I mean, Nelly and Scotty are going to get a lot of comps because they're of similar age, and obviously both world number ones. But, I mean, this is a big leap, and doing it the way she did after a pretty soft opening round, playing incredible golf those last 54 holes around a tough place like Riv.
Yeah, I mean, and I echo said too, I think she's going to be just balls to the walls from here on out. I mean, she's got a chance for the single season Grand Slam. I think until that is erased, that opportunity, like, she is focused on that and that alone. And by the way, man, when you're playing professional golf and it's week in, week out, year after year, sometimes it does become a little bit like a job, and it's important to reset and have people to talk to and have people around you that can make it fun, make practice fun, make playing practice rounds fun. Sometimes that's hard to do, especially when you're in the middle of a long run, right in the middle of the season.
And finding those other things that get you away from golf. I know Nelly's a big runner, loves to run, loves to kind of clear her mind. When she said days are stressful, that's a big kind of like exhale for her. And I think it's so important. I hear from so many players that you talk to that get into kind of the mundane weeks back to back to back to back to back, and you feel like everything is kind of the same. The hotel's the same. The food's the same. And you just try to find something to break it up, whether it be, to Patrick's point, reading at a library, or to Johnson's point, finding a good golf course in the area to go play. I mean, you need some outlet that's not the game. And obviously, Nelly's found that with running and with family and basically with perspective. It was cool to see her pick up that victory. I mean, that was so cool. I think everybody was rooting for it to happen. The fact that it happened at Riviera was exceptional. All right, we're going to take a break. We are, 23 minutes into the show? So we'll call it Tuesday's longest show to this point. It's worth time jumping into golf's longest day, which happened on Monday. A lot of tickets punched to U.S. Open. Unfortunately, I am not headed to Shinnecock Hills with my golf clubs. I'll probably be there in some capacity, but always a fun day when you get a chance to play 36 with an opportunity to get into a major. So we'll jump into golf's longest day and the stories that came into that after the break. Fellas, I gotta be honest with you. A little tired after yesterday. I'm not the young buck that I once was, Wags. 36 in a day, walking, driving between golf courses. Barely, you get about 12 minutes for lunch. I was on the putting green, and James Nicklaus is like, he looks like he's speed golfing, trying to hit a couple of putts before his second round just to get a feel for those greens at Century. But golf's longest day came and is gone. Patrick, can you hit me with three storylines that came out of Monday?
Well, I'll say one kind of coming out of yours. I know Ben James is turning professional, playing on the PGA Tour this week. But if you add in him, he was number two amateur alongside Preston Stout, Jackson Koivin. You have the three top amateurs in the world. And then you add in Miles Russell, who's the top junior, and the second junior also qualified out of Florida too. Miles Russell also happens to be number 10 in the amateur rankings. So you have four of the top amateurs who in this field at Shinnecock Hills, which I think is really cool. JB Holmes, I just appreciated. We saw all these guys aim pointing during this playoff and just all reliable plumb bobbing it. You know, stick to the basics, know your game, spread them out, make a par on the playoff hole and earn your spot. Cool to see him in the mix. And then the Woodmont qualifier is always one of my favorites. Ben Coles going from the BMW Pro-Am in Greenville, South Carolina, driving to Charlotte, making his flight, and then going all the way up there to Maryland to win also is great. And then a really good amateur in Logan Riley qualified out of there too.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a unique day in all of sports. I mean, you think about where does this exist outside of golf? Obviously, an opportunity for so many players. We had a couple of rule situations as well, Wags. I'm going to let you dive into the Steven Yeager driver situation. What happened there?
Yeah, so he felt like he broke his driver midway through that first round, had an official come over. They looked at the driver. There was no audible. There was no, when they shook it, they couldn't hear anything. They couldn't feel a scratch. They couldn't see a scratch. And it seems like a tough ruling, but my friend Brendan DeYoung and I had Steve Rintoul from the PGA Tour rules team on our radio show this morning, and we asked him about it specifically. And he said that if there's no visible or audible sign that it's physically broken, you are not allowed to replace it. And I mean, it's sort of a protecting the field situation, because you could think of a guy like Bryson DeChambeau, who has seven different driver heads. And if he's not liking one of them and wants another, if he just says, hey, I broke this, it's not going where I want it to, then you have to be able to see it or hear it. And that was the rule. And unfortunate for Steven Yeager, I'm sure he wasn't trying to pull a fast one, so had to finish his first round without a driver, but was able to replace it for the second round.
Could bring it in for the afternoon round. And then we had a really weird situation, Patrick, with Adam Spence. And I mean, one of those, was it Shane Lowry a couple years ago that just picked his ball up, or picked his, was it on the green? He just kind of almost
might have been at Oakmont.
Picked the ball up and then had to put it back down, and like playing with Rory, and they were like laughing at each other because it all happened. Mm-hmm. A kind of a similar situation. Adam Spence, was it in a playoff late in the day?
Yeah, it was. I don't know if there's any laughing, just because certainly could prove costly for him, but it was an 8-for-3 in Canada. Obviously, all those guys playing in the Canadian Open are playing in this qualifier as well, and it was down to McGreevy, Wallace, and Adam Svensson for that last spot. I believe Mao and John Perry had already punched their tickets. McGreevy made a birdie. Wallace was already in for par, and because of that, Svensson, you know, the guy just punched his ticket into the U.S. Open in McGreevy. I'm just going to pick up my ball mark and not finish out. This thing's over. It's wraps. But with how the alternates shake out, unfortunately, he conceded that putt more or less. And so Matt Wallace is now the first alternate, and Adam Svensson is the second. It's just tough. It's a long day, obviously. You're playing lots of holes. You're exhausted. And it's a situation that these guys just don't find themselves in too often, where you're playing for that alternate spot without realizing it. Your dreams are crushed of not playing in the U.S. Open, but unfortunately, Svensson likely not going to be in the U.S. Open via alternate now.
Yeah, I mean, Wags, you know, people that maybe have an experience or even gone out and watched, Golf's Longest Day, and I would push anybody, if it's in your area, go do it. You can get up close and personal to, obviously, you know, big name amateurs or even professionals. I mean, I saw it at Century, especially with, you know, the kind of the membership coming out later in the day to get a look at James Nicklaus and Ben James and those types of players. But there's a lot of moving parts, right? You're showing up at one golf course early in the morning, you're hitting some balls, you're preparing, going out and playing. And then the moment you finish, it's sign your card, like try to figure out where food is. They typically have it at the clubs and you can eat it either way, but it's driving over to the other course. And those tee times come quickly. Like, you rarely have even an opportunity to go hit more than about five balls or roll a few putts. All of that happens so quickly. And then you're right back into a round. I think if you read this, you might roll your eyes at it. But if you've kind of been involved in it, you realize you're talking 8, 9, 10 hours of a day where your mind's basically having to be locked in.
It's a big day, and I've done them all over. I finally settled on going to the site you were at and purchased for the last few years that I tried, because you played in Twosomes. The golf course was great. It was close to the Canadian Open. Memphis, by the way, I've done 36 in Memphis before, when the St. Jude, the week before the U.S. Open. And I'm telling you what, I did it way too many times. I've done Columbus too many times. It's slow rounds, and the heat in Memphis is the worst. Like Tuesday at the St. Jude, it was a ghost town because nobody was out there playing practice rounds. We had all just been, through the ringer of a 36-hole day. It's one of the toughest days. I remember my last time doing it, 2022, I got off the golf course and I could barely walk, went up, could not play a practice round Tuesday in Canada, didn't make the cut that week. It is golf's longest day for a reason, and I realized that I wasn't in good enough shape to play 36 in a day anymore.
Yeah, my dogs were barking. My dad came out. He's 77 years old. He made it 27, and he was donezo. And I said, I think that's fair. Walk 27. But second time, for me getting through local qualifying, but this was the first time I got a chance to be involved in golf's longest day. Obviously didn't play very good in the opening round. Just like Wags, it's just the little mistakes that are magnified, right? Like I think about two iron shots in the middle of my opening round, nine iron on 18 at purchase, which I hit a little left of my target and we never found the ball. And then it was trying to chase a flag stick on the back nine on a par three that I had no business chasing, because you feel like you need to make a one to pick up shots, and then all of a sudden it leads to a double bogey. It's just so easy, and the line is so thin on when to kind of strike and when not to strike. And I think when you don't play a boatload of tournament golf, that to me is what gets exposed.
Yeah, well, you get behind the eight ball early and you feel like you got to press and press and press. And that's, as we know, when more mistakes happen. It's the guys. I remember Tim Clark one year at Brookside and the Lakes in Columbus. He just went out and shot 15 under, just birdied every other hole, it seemed like. And it was a breeze for him. But you've got to get into that mode of birdies and no bogeys. And it's hard to do, especially when you play two great golf courses like you did up there in Purchase.
And Wags, I had a really classy four putt. I just want to let you know, I had made all pars in the afternoon at Century. You know that par three on the front, what is it, seven, with that green kind of like this, and they put the whole location on that right on the slope. I had a really nice approach in there to about 20 feet and walked away with five. And that, I even heard a couple people grumbling after and went, so that's kind of like Shinnecock 11, right? I was like, I think that's kind of how it'll feel like. But again, nice to rub shoulders with some of the boys. Wish I'd have played a little bit better. But it's a cool day. It's just, it's exhausting. I think it's as mentally exhausting as it is physically exhausting. And Patrick, I think you give credit to the guys, the pros that still do it, right, that have played in U.S. Opens and still want to go out there and grind it out. And I give a lot of respect to those guys that don't WD after a mediocre first 18 as well, considering all the golf that's expected to be played right now.
It's cool. You still feel like you can chase down the dream. We saw someone like Bill Haas out there in North Carolina with his son on the roller bag too, kind of get in the mix. Just think about Brant Snedeker winning on the PGA Tour a few weeks ago. He's in a qualifier as well, one of the older guys now. And so it kind of just goes back to the posting thing. Is golfers all think they're just one moment, one swing, one feel away of really channeling it again. And I think you see that on the longest day.
Birdied my last hole both rounds. That'll be my thing I walk away from. Classy ways to finish both rounds.
Well done.
Unfortunately, those were my only birdies. Only birdies of my days were the last holes each of the rounds. But 80-77, not going to qualify for many big events, but a fun day, an exhausting day, and enough on that. We'll take a break, and from golf's longest day, we'll jump into the Canadian Open. Johnson Wags going to have a passport in tow this week for the finale of a long stretch of golf. So we'll dive into Canada after the break.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
going to be our international boy this week, Johnson Wagner, headed north. Wags, you guys been on the road, what, since Augusta?
Since Augusta. I mean, I've been able to come home most Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays. But, yes, it has been 9 straight weekends. This will be 10, and I'm ready. I'm going to lock myself in my office U.S. Open week, and I'm going to watch as much U.S. Open coverage as I possibly can. And I may not go outside for a few days.
That's okay. That's okay. Just enjoy the basically start to finish coverage from Shinnecock. Excited for the coverage this week at the RBC Canadian Open, TPC Toronto. As you see, par 70, nearly 7,400 yards. And Patrick, considering all the things happening, coming off of a big event at the Memorial, and we got U.S. Open upcoming, pretty good field, all things considered.
Good one. Yeah, of course. And I believe this is the second straight year it's at TPC Toronto. Had Ryan Fox beat Sam Burns in the playoff. I don't know. Was that the first time the PGA Tour did the whole cutting a new hole situation in a playoff?
Might have been.
I think it was. And people forget Cameron Young, after he qualified for the U.S. Open, played in this tournament too, played well, was in with a chance to win. So a golf course people are still getting familiar with. But as you mentioned, a lot of the guys who played well last week outside of Poston and Gerard, Poston pulled out of the tournament because, you know, why should he play after he won $4 million? I'm with him there. But like Fleetwood, Chris Rayton, Alex Fitzpatrick, Burns, Clark. And so I'm looking kind of at Fleetwood and Burns, two guys who have lost playoffs at the Canadian Open, who are playing well enough, I think, to win a golf tournament this week.
Fitzpatrick, boys obviously involved as well. A name I'm looking at, Wags, just in terms of what it's going to look like, is Colin Morikawa. I haven't seen him since the PGA. A bit of a lost name after the incredible start to the year. I felt like he was kind of trending in that direction of this guy's going to get himself involved once again in majors, has the injury at the Players, and has just not been the same player since. But, you know, this is the place he made his professional debut years ago, back in 2019. And I think about Colin Morikawa, like, let's find something before a U.S. Open at a golf course that I think earlier in the year we were both penciling Colin in as one of the favorites at Shinnecock, considering the need for great iron play.
Yeah, need for great iron play and the fact that he drives the ball so well. I've talked to multiple people that played at Shinnecock last Monday, and they said the fairways are massive, and if you miss them, that first step cut of rough is about 5 paces wide, and it's about 4 inches deep, and then it just goes into the fescue. So a guy like Colin Morikawa, if he's healthy, the way he drives it, the way he iron plays it, yes, you would love to see his chances. I am going to be paying close attention to him this week because I just want to see him swinging free, walking without pain. It was awesome to see him sort of turn it around, especially after all the media attention he got in the middle of last year. Like, he seemed to sort of take a step forward, and he would have been my Wyndham Clark last year, and to see him turn around the way he has, I think it's really unfortunate that he's gone through this injury this year.
Patrick, do you need to see anything from Fleetwood? I mean, if he plays mediocre this week, does that change the way you might think about him at the U.S. Open? I know you're not as high on Fleetwood as I am as we get closer to Shinnecock, but I think it was a big week at the Memorial just to have, you know, 4 relatively consistent days and get yourself in the mix.
Well, I think it was just big for him to feel what he was feeling in contention again, because he hasn't had a chance to win a golf tournament, and we're 5 months through the season up until this week at Memorial. And I think that's the knock on Fleetwood, is he is so good and so well-rounded and so sturdy that he should be playing himself into pretty much every other tournament. I feel like he should have a late tee time on Sunday, and that just hasn't been the case. So I think that was the big thing for Fleetwood. I know he made a poor bogey there on the penultimate hole, but I'm pretty high on him. I'm with you with Morikawa. He was walking around the PGA Championship like he had to go to the bathroom the entire time, just waddling around. And so if he can be healthy, and then Victor Hovland is a guy, allegedly his back flared up before the Memorial too, and that's why he pulled out. And these are two guys who came out at the same time, and it felt like the sky was the limit. Colin obviously has 2 major wins, and then Victor contended at Oakmont last year when he hated his game. So beware the injured golfer, I guess, with those two, I'd say.
You know, it's an interesting point, Patrick. You think about that rookie class, if you will. So 2019, it was Vic, it was Colin, it was Justin Suh, who at the time was the number 1 ranked amateur in the world when he came out of college in that same class. And I believe it was Matthew Wolf. And you think about those 4 names, right? They all graduated the same time. They all turned pro around the same time. And I think we were kind of expecting this to be that class, right? This to be that new modern class that produces all these stars. And out of the gate, it was accurate. And I mean, has bounced around the Corn Ferry Tour. Matthew Wolf, I haven't heard the name in a couple of years after obviously his run at Wingfoot and the decision to go to Live. And then with Vic, he's been lost for a couple of years. And Morikawa, outside of the, 3-4 week run earlier this year, has felt a little lost with his game over the last 2 years.
The Vic thing, I know Johnson and I went back and forth on him, I think, earlier in the season. It's like the lack of consistency from a guy who was arguably the best player in the world in 2023 is shocking. And to me, it stems from the driver. And this guy was a top 10 driver of the golf ball on the planet for so long. And right now, it just seems like nothing is clicking for him. But we saw at the Valspar last year when he hated his game, he won that. And then, as I mentioned, at Oakmont. But just a lot of question marks around a couple guys who felt like such sturdy presences for a while.
Wags, do you have any like big plans for Canada? Are you going to play any golf? I mean, are you going to do any like Canadian-y things, or are you just going to go up there and work?
No golf, but I did just invite my daughter yesterday. She's 15. She's going to come up. She walked with me inside the ropes on Sunday at the Truist Championship, and she's going to do it again Saturday, Sunday. Saturday, I will say they've got the rink hole, and so Amanda Balionis and I will have a set on the par three. I believe it's 13. It's either 13 or 16, and we're going to have a set right there. Colt Nost was trying to get me to wear a Jack Hughes hockey jersey, who's scored the game-winning goal in the gold medal match. I love Canadians.
Some friend.
I'm gonna wear a Leafs jersey out there, but it's gonna be wild when all the Canadians come through that rink hole. They always get serenaded with "O Canada," the national anthem. So I'm really excited to see that Saturday and share that with my daughter and Amanda. And then Sunday work. I'll take my daughter some nice dinners, have some chill family time. I feel like I haven't seen her in 3 months, so it'll be good to get that quality time with her.
Colt's the buddy that the ghost pepper comes out at dinner, and he's like, no, you eat it. You'll love it. You eat it. It's going to feel good. It's not that hot.
It's good for you, not me.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It'll clear everything out. You're going to be so happy with yourself. Well, I'll be excited to see what hockey jersey you land on. Do you have an idea of what you're going to go with or no?
From the Maple Leafs. I'm gonna wear a Maple Leafs jersey. I know I'm gonna play to the crowd. I don't like being the villain like Colt does. He apparently loves it, and I have too much respect for the Canadian people to do that to him.
Have you thought about like retro or throwback? Like if you maybe like an old Gretzky jersey or something? Can you go that direction?
Yeah, or like a Mark Messier. I moved to New York in 1994, and the Rangers won the Stanley Cup that year. So I like an old Messier jersey would be incredible. Could even go like the Oilers. It'd be an Edmonton Oilers jersey.
I mean, it feels like buy 3 or 4, expense that back to the company. Obviously, this is important for work, and then now you got 4 new sweaters, and you just decide on which one's going to match your look for the day. This is why we work, Wags. I'm excited to see what that looks like. You said that's on Saturday, right?
Saturday, yep.
That'll be on Saturday, obviously, with the coverage, RBC Canadian Open. All right, we're going to take a break, come back with picks. We'll give out who we think has a chance to win, who's not going to win. I don't think Wyndham Clark's name's going to make that list. And a little bit more as we wrap up Scorecard on this Tuesday. Back on Scorecard. And fellas, you guys watch a lot of sports. You know when a football player, like a running back's tired and he gives the helmet tap, like take me out here. I understand I'm not at 100%. I think it's an important thing as an adult when you're not being your best self, whether it's a partner or as a father or as a, anything, it's important to be aware of your flaws. And I just have to say, as we get into our picks here for Canada, I have officially suspended myself from picks this week. I went with Ricky Fowler last week at Memorial. He finished DFL. He shot 79-81, Patrick, is that right?
He just barely lost to Alex Smalley, who's one of the hottest players in the world. Look at it that way.
So maybe 79-82 was not good, and that was my pick. And so I think it's important that you're aware of how bad you're doing in certain things. So I am not going to give my picks. But, Patrick, I'll let you give a pick out because I believe you've been relatively hot as of late with your picks.
I think relative is a stretch, but we're going to go full-on Paul Revere. The British are coming up to Canada and go with three different Englishmen this week. We're going to go with the younger brother, Fitzpatrick, Alex, outside the PGA Championship. He's just been dynamite on the PGA Tour. Feels like looking at last year's leaderboard, hit it long, make a lot of putts. That feels like Fitzpatrick's game right now. Aaron Rye, I thought he played great in his first start since the PGA Championship. So if that theory isn't holding true, got a little backup plan with Rye guy. And then the guy who I think ultimately wins it's going to be Justin Rose. He had the cover off the golf ball last week, could not buy a putt whatsoever. I think he was second only to Wyndham Clark from tee to green. And we know Rosie, he's not ever too far off with the putter.
Rosie, not a bad pick at Shinnecock. God, I've got like seven names I like at Shinnecock. Again, I'm not doing picks this week. The Wags, who do you feel like has a chance to win this week?
Well, I'm going back to I'm going Canadians. I think we're going to see a Canadian win this year. So I'm taking former champ Nick Taylor, one of the greatest tournaments I've ever covered for Golf Central at Golf Channel. Absolute goosebumps that week. I also have Corey Connors, who I think Corey Connors' ball striking is elite. He has not been playing great this year, no, but I think coming back in to the home country, I think Corey Connors is going to have a great week. And then I've got your boy, Patrick. I've got Wyndham Clark. He's on my can win list this week.
Wow.
My boy. Amazing.
Yeah.
Gosh. Maturing, Wyndham growing.
Clark. Look, we're happy Wyndham Clark's game is back, but we are not boys.
Okay.
Not yet.
But Corey Connors. Not yet. Corey Connors is going to win. Let's just get that.
Okay. And Patrick, what are your thoughts on Grape? Like, do you like to pop open a bottle after something positive or no?
That wasn't for me. He was excited in the moment, I think. If he does actually call wine Grape, then I'm glad we're not boys.
There you go. When you start to really get into the expensive French wine, then we're going to start.
That feels like a Scottsdale thing, Shane.
It's
calling it Grape.
There are a couple restaurants, I think, in Scottsdale that might have Grape in the name that are wine bars. So, yes, I think you're spot on. Patrick, who do you think's not winning this week in Canada?
I'm going with Morikawa, just a bunch of question marks and kind of along the same lines with Victor Hovland. And then someone who I've been picking on, not to the extent of Wags and Wyndham Clark, but Bobby McIntyre. I still feel like he has to pay his dues for what he did to Augusta National across those first two rounds with the bird and the yelling and the screaming, and just hasn't been playing good golf, even though he is a past champion. And remember, when he did win this golf tournament, he hated the drones from CBS too. So just bad juju, I think, with Bobby Mack right now.
He will not like whatever Wags picks as his jersey come Saturday. Wags, who do you think's not winning?
I have to agree on Morikawa. I'm going to have to see it. I'm going to have to see him playing pain-free before I think he can win again. I'm also going with Matt Fitzpatrick, man. He has not been sharp since the brothers won. He did finish 14th at the PGA, but after the run he had from Valspar through New Orleans, it's just been sort of shocking lately. And then I wanted to go with Bobby Mack, but I saw Patrick was picking him, so I'm going a little different. I'm going Sam Burns. I just think emotionally, he's going to be drained after that loss. Like, we saw what winning at Memorial did to Scottie Scheffler 2 years ago leading into the U.S. Open. Like, the way Sam Burns, the mistake he made on 17 going for the green off of that lie and losing the way he did, I just think it's going to be too much for him to win this week.
And Patrick, last thing before we go, I know there was some announcement with the PGA Tour and the Australian Open. You got 10 seconds on that?
Yeah, next 30 years, PGA Tour is going to help elevate the Australian Open, kind of bump up the purse, I think, and that co-sanctioned National Open with the DP World Tour is only going to get bigger.
Globalized golf. We love to see it when it goes in different places. Obviously going to go up to Canada this week, Saturday and Sunday, 3 Eastern on CBS. Johnson Wagner, the end of his travels as of now. Excited to see what it looks like from the rink and Wags and the jersey. Make sure you're watching the PGA Tour this week, and we'll be back on Tuesday to recap all that went down north of the border.
Paramount Podcasts.